Universal. Film 4. Universal Pictures and Film 4 present a Tiger Aspect Pictures production in association with Hell's Kitchen International, starring Mark Gatiss, Steve Pemberton and Reese Shearsmith, with David Warner as Dr. P and Michael Sheen as Jeremy Dyson. It's nighttime, and in an isolated house situated near the coast of a remote peninsula, a curly-haired man runs between rooms with the desperation of a person in fear of his life. Scrambling upstairs, he rummages through the contents of a bookshelf, then scours a living room before eventually finding what he's looking for. Picking up a mobile phone, he flips it open.
Steve, sorry, I couldn't find my phone. Thanks for calling back. Wait, no, I'm fine, I'm absolutely fine. Listen. I've had another idea for Royston Vasey. What? No, hear me out. I think this might be the one. All the characters wake up one morning, and they've got tails. Yeah, tails. You know, animal tails, like dogs, monkeys, pigs. You know, big, bushy ones, squiggly ones, swishing ones, little bobtail ones, ones that poke over the tops of their heads. Well, I don't know, I've only just thought of it. I just think it's a good way of keeping these characters alive. I just don't think they're ready to go yet. Oh. Okay. No, I understand. Well, why don't you talk to the others about it first? They're all there with you, are they? All right, then. Well, OK. I'll speak to you later. Yeah, bye.
Hearing something outside, he picks up a pair of binoculars and holds them up to a window. Focusing on a creepy scarecrow, he lowers the binoculars, revealing black rings around his eyes. As he turns away, a shadowy figure runs across the window. Stepping into the bathroom and swallowing a couple of pills, the man's barely noticed the rings around his eyes when he hears a noise behind him. Tubbs is sitting on the toilet.
I made a little brown fish.
The man rushes to the front door.
Going somewhere local?
The man runs back into the house, but Edward catches him and pins him against a wall.
Jeremy!
No, please, it wasn't me, it was the others!
Jeremy pushes him off and runs into the kitchen, but Edward grabs hold of him and jumps onto his back, holding on tightly as Jeremy spins around, trying to shake him off. Edward gouges Jeremy's nostrils, pulling them up his face until he falls back onto the floor. But Jeremy elbows him in the stomach and gets back up, kicking him in the face.
Tom! Help me!
I'm trying to get rid of this fish! He doesn't want to go!
Jeremy picks up a chair and uses it to smash a window. Edward's crawling across the floor.
Edward, what are you doing? He's getting away!
Come on! Tubbs! Did he get the joke with the binoculars at least?
No, didn't crack his face!
After him!
Running for his life, Jeremy heads down a grassy slope with Edward and Tubbs in hot pursuit. Sprinting straight into the scarecrow, he's knocked off his feet, but manages to recover quickly and continue running. Suddenly, he slams on the brakes as he reaches the edge of a cliff. Gazing at the rocks below, he turns to face his pursuers and closes his eyes.
They're not real.
He opens them again. Edward and Tubbs are edging towards him. But when he closes and opens them once more, he's relieved to find himself alone. But Edward and Tubbs have just been ducking out of sight.
But you're not real!
We are now!
Feeling Papa Lazarus's hand on his shoulder, Jeremy steps back off the cliff and plummets towards the rocks. Suddenly, a fiery explosion rises to meet him and envelops him in flames. The League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse. A sign on a hill overlooking a rural village reads, "Welcome to Royston Vasey. You'll never leave." A giraffe.
So how old is Jack O'Neill, Mr. Chinnery?
Well, nobody knows for sure, Dahlia. That's just the thing. He was a gift from the late Shah of Iran back in 77. And he was no spring chicken then. That's why it's essential we get a specimen of his seed before age precludes any issue.
Yes. So what exactly is the procedure?
Oh, it's quite simple, really. A small electrical stimulus is applied to Jacko's rectum, producing spontaneous ejaculation.
Which I catch in this.
Yes. Just plug this in for me, would you, Dahlia?
Dahlia plugs a cable into a generator as Mr. Chinnery lubricates the end of a metal pole. As three old ladies in wheelchairs are pushed to the gate of the enclosure to watch, Mr. Chinnery climbs a stepladder and inserts the probe into Jacko's rectum. Jacko looks over his shoulder.
Right. Chocks away.
Holding the probe like a rifle, he squeezes the trigger.
Nothing?
Just a little dribble.
Oh, all right. We'll have another go. I'll increase the voltage a wee bit. Getting close to his, getting close.
Suddenly, lightning strikes a junction box, and Dahlia and the old ladies are hit by a huge burst of giraffe semen.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Dahlia's face is sopping. Running across the moors with the sound of police dogs in the distance, Hilary the butcher attempts to pick the lock of a pair of shackles around his wrists with a knife. A windswept Polly comes across Mickey holding the end of a piece of string.
Hiya, Mickey, love!
Hiya!
Hey, at least it's good weather for your kite.
It's not a kite!
Mickey's dog's been swept into the air.
Right, well, I've got to go. I've got to see a lady.
See ya! Come down! Come down!
On the moors...
This is stupid. Why don't we just go back home?
No way. We're going to win this batch.
Wouldn't be so bad if we could just get this fire going.
Yeah. Keep blowing, boys! All it takes is one big puff.
Thanks very much, Mr...
Hey, Lip. I was out taking my regular constipational. I got caught in this terrible downpour. I think I've got wood, if that's any help.
No, I think we'll be all right.
Bitter, I cannot make out with you. Please, pull back your purple skin so I can see your heads.
The boys remove their hoods.
Alice Clare. Now, why not let a practiced hand loose on your little twigs, eh? I know how to rub them just right to make them spit fire. Wait! I was going to ask about Father John!
Oh, I've never known whether like it. It's raining cats and dogs upon the moors. I've not seen such a heavy flow since my last period.
Pauline's walking along the high street when lightning strikes the statue of an angel holding aloft a wreath. She watches as its hand clatters to the ground. A road.
Help! Help! This man needs help!
Jeff pulls up.
What's up? Have you fell?
Please, you must get out of the car and come to my aid.
You're joking, are you? It's pissing down.
Tell him you've been struck by a vehicle. You've got internal bleeding.
I have been struck by a vehicle?
Yeah. What he said, who is he? You help him if you're that bothered.
No, I can't, you see, because my back's bad. Oh, sorry. Get in the car. Get in.
Hillary and Hare Lip jump into the car.
Oh, brilliant, soaking wet.
Just drive.
In the Royston Vassy Church, a young schoolgirl's waiting anxiously in a confessional as a partition shutter slides open and the vicar leers at her through a grill.
Go on.
Well, there's this lad. Oh, well, he's not real lad, really. He's one of the teachers. And he's really fit. Takes me for science.
And have you been thinking about this fella when you're alone?
Yes, Reverend.
And are any of your thoughts of a carnal nature?
You mean rude?
Yes, my child.
Yeah, they are.
And sometimes, do you touch yourself in a way that seems forbidden?
The girl bows her head in shame.
I'll take that as a yes. Now, love, you might ask what harm can come from a young maiden such as yourself being drawn toward this attractive chevalier, to find yourself opening like a beautiful flower in the warmth of the morning sun, enjoying the simple blossoming of womanhood. Bullshit! You come in here getting your fishy fingers all over my communion wafers, slinging your jelly every hour God sends. Go on, get stuffed!
The girl runs out of the confessional.
You should be disgusted with yourself. Go and play stinky picky somewhere else.
The vicar leans wearily against a pillar.
Does it really matter anymore?
Reverend? What the hell's going on?
Moving a rug, the vicar opens a large trap door just in front of the altar. Pauline's not impressed. Descending a staircase, holding aloft a lantern, the vicar leads Pauline along a cobweb-filled stone passageway.
What's this, the name of the rose?
Pauline holds up a pen with an inbuilt light. As they enter a crypt, the vicar holds the lantern to a fresco depicting the church being bombarded by meteorites.
Oh, you've had vandals down here, have you? I had a cock sprayed on my door last week.
A second painting shows the statue in the high street being struck by lightning.
Hang on a minute. This just happened.
You see, it has begun at last.
What's begun?
There you are. Sorry I'm late. You wouldn't believe what's happened at the zoo, wouldn't I?
They gather around a fresco depicting a giraffe befouling three nuns with its semen. Jeff's car makes its way along the moor road.
Just realised who you are.
Have you?
You in it? Demon butcherer, Hilary Briss.
Alice Clare, the one with the funny meat.
Used to put things in your sausages, didn't you? Killing all them people. Hey, I used to eat your pork pies.
They weren't pork.
I know. It's all bumholes and eyelids, isn't it? Still nice, though.
Crashing down in front of them, a fiery meteorite surrounds the car with flames.
These frescoes speak of a time when the mantle of darkness shall be riven by fire. The turbulent sea shall swallow up the earth, and
when a giraffe was spunk up over a load of old biddies. In short, they foretell the end of our world.
What do you mean, our world? Don't you mean the world?
I know what I mean.
Oh, please stop talking in riddles. You brought us here for a reason. Just tell us the truth.
Very well. There may be a chance that we can find salvation. There is a way through in this very chamber to a larger world beyond.
You mean Calderdale?
No. Over there is a doorway to another universe. I know it sounds far-fetched, but bear with me.
Outside.
Keep yourself up! This is a wild goose cake!
Eddie!
He ushers them into the church.
There is a magical key that will grant us access to the world beyond. I keep it with me at all times. Now, where is it? Oh, here we are. This is the last of the three keys of ingress.
Damn it! I'm gonna be late for work now, will you please?
Come off it, Reverend. You can't shoot a shitter. This is some kind of wind-up, yeah?
You don't understand. Armageddon is upon us. Unless we act now, this is our ultimate fate.
The church ablaze.
All will be made clear on the other side. Please understand, first team failed. We cannot afford another fuck-up. This is Royston Vase's last chance. When we go through that door...
They turn to the door. Having gone through the door, Hillary, Jeff, and her lip find themselves in a white room.
Well, now what?
Sit tight. And keep quiet.
Sitting down, Hillary removes the shackles from his wrists and ankles. As he rubs his eyes, Jeff and her lip exchange a few furtive gestures.
Oh, there's a load of sausages, look!
Where?
Her lip makes a weak attempt to grab Hillary's knife, enabling Jeff to escape through the door. Following him into the crypt, Hillary and her lip look at each other in puzzlement when they find it filled with old furniture and traffic cones. Hillary shepherds her lip along the corridor. Stepping back up through the trapdoor, Hillary and her lip find the sanctuary mysteriously bright and airy, with green and white banners draped on the walls around the altar. As they look around in bewilderment, a vicar appears from behind the partition.
Ah! You're doing the tour, are you?
Yes. Well, the others have all gone on to the butchers in the high street, so just follow the road, round to the right. Can't miss it.
Splendid costumes, by the way.
Thank you. I like your dress.
Hillary ushers her lip to the door at knife point. Having emerged into a town called Hadfield, Hillary and his German hostage encounter a group of her lip impersonators. Jeff's run home to his tenement flat. Unable to turn his key in the lock, he tries the handle to find the door already open. Rushing inside, he picks up the phone. Putting the phone down, he's confronted by an Asian man.
What's going on?
Who are you? What do you want?
Hey, this is my flat.
No. Get out, please.
Hey, what's all these ornaments?
You must leave now. Go, please.
All these ornaments?
No. Leave, please. Get out. What have you done all that? What have you got a couple of hours? Pull them sticks out, they stink.
A poster in a butcher shop window reads, "This shop was used as a location in the League of Gentlemen TV series."
What is going on? Me flat full of Asian people.
Something's not right about this.
Papa Lazaru appears behind them.
Hello, Daves. I've been expecting you.
Papa Lazaru has Hillary, her lip, and Jeff gathered around a TV, watching an episode of The League of Gentlemen.
Now, are you sure you don't want me to cancel the party tonight?
No, it's your last night here. I don't want to spoil it, but if I could leave you to organize everybody.
Alice Clark, you put yourself in my fist, Justin. I carried you.
All right. There's these three fellas.
Yeah, Englishman, Irishman, Scotland.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, turn it off when I come on.
Do you believe me now?
Well, it's one of those hidden camera reality television things, isn't it?
No. This is reality. Royston Basie is just a fiction.
And so these four men
are our creators. Yes. Collectively known as the League of Gentlemen. Spooky, eh?
There is so much to take in.
And which one plays me?
He plays me as well.
And me. The point is, gentlemen, our world is coming to an end, and these men are responsible. We have no time to lose. Anyway, I'm sure the Reverend briefed you well.
Hey?
Yes, she did.
What happened to this one?
We didn't push him.
It's all right, Tubbs. We approached him directly. It was a mistake.
Something must have frightened him.
Can't think what.
You see, this is our problem. We are three of the more bizarre characters.
Everyone turns to Papa Lazaru as he begins to retch. Suddenly, a large black clump of hair emerges from his mouth and slops onto the floor. Tubbs licks her lips.
Not easy blending in.
There is a lot of prejudice.
The time has come for a more subtle approach.
Edward!
Thank you, Tubbs. The train to London leaves in 20 minutes. These are your orders. Seek out the creators, discover why they are destroying us, and stop them.
Now, I've packed you some sandwiches, and I also made some fish cakes.
Ooh, what kind of fish?
Brown.
Lovely.
The London Eye, Big Ben, Trafalgar Square, and Piccadilly Circus. Her lip makes his way along a busy high street, carrying a bag and a takeaway box. Smiling at passers-by as he goes, he eventually ends up at the centre of a communal square garden, where he has a furtive look around before stepping inside a half-timbered gardener's hut. Hillary and Jeff are holed up inside.
Okay, so a hot chocolate and four Twixes?
Yeah, that's me.
Alice Clare?
No, I must stop saying that.
A veggie burger and a weak tea? I'll just leave it in the bag.
In you go.
Oh, I'll just have a mouthful of everybody. I'm sure I've got room for a couple of your fingers. So, what have I missed?
Let me have a look.
Taking Jeff's binoculars, her lip spots a male courier leaving a building.
Oh. Yeah, not that.
Jeff directs him to a window.
Yeah, I see them.
Yeah, can you see my one?
Yeah, it's slimmer than you.
Shut up.
And there's my one. He's at the computer. He must be the clever one.
Yeah, well, my one's telling what to do, isn't he? Give him back anyway.
No, it's my turn.
You're not in charge.
I've had long enough. I want to see my one. Excuse me.
Look at you. Bickering like infants. I've got a clue what to do next, have you? Yeah? What? Well, if we're quick, we can get on the eye wheel. Never mind the eye wheel. You listen to me!
Her lip and Jeff step down from the window.
No, I don't give a calf's kidney about you two.
or any of those clowns back in Vesey, but I do care about me. I want to survive. So we're going to do this my way. All right?
Ripping the binoculars from her lips' grasp, Hillary steps up to the window.
Right. He's sitting at the computer, so what's he doing?
Writing?
Precisely. We've got to get that computer.
Mark Gatiss steps into view.
Oh, there's my one!
Stepping into a building dressed as a motorcycle courier, Hillary walks up to a reception desk.
Can I help you?
He holds up an envelope.
All right. If you'd just like to sign in for me. That's great. And are they with you?
Her lip and Jeff are crawling across the floor.
They need to sign in too.
Oh, now he is bloody funny. No,
we have him in Germany, Herr Bean.
That way he gets the tech, he's stuck on his head.
Yeah, I like that.
Shut up. You know what you have to do, so get on with it. Make it quick. You've seen unseen reading.
No, I haven't.
In an open-planned office filled with desks and cubicles, Hillary approaches another reception desk.
I've got a packet for the League of Gentlemen.
Hang on, just a minute.
Jeff and her lip spot a fire alarm.
Hang on, look. There's a £500 penalty for deliberate misuse. Who's paying for that?
If only I could get my hands on a little tool. Have you got one?
No. I'll go and see if I can find some.
A Michelle!
Attempting to break the glass, her lip notices a security guard strolling towards him. Stepping away from the alarm, he backs into an office and closes the door. Turning around, he finds himself facing a casting panel.
Oh, hello, you must be Paul. This is our director, Liam, our writer, Sheila, and our producer, Brian. Do please take a seat.
Her lip sits down in front of a video camera.
Sign there, please.
Minnie, can we get some coffee? That's not 2 weeks ago.
Okay, just a sec. Sorry, excuse me.
Hillary checks his watch.
Come on!
4 whole weeks together? I can hardly believe it.
I know, but we mustn't get carried away.
I know, but I can't help it. Since the operation, I... Oh, so he's had an operation.
He was in a car crash.
Ah, I see. So the pain he's referring to is...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, can I start again?
Of course you can.
Okay. 4 whole weeks together. Ouch! I can hardly believe it. Since the operation...
Oh, yeah. I'm looking for some art, like a spanner or a dildo or something. It's all right. This'll do. Let's borrow it. Van's run up.
Hillary's listening outside the League of Gentlemen's office.
Seems quite a good idea, Dale.
Excuse me. What is the idea? What's the envelope? Just full of leaves.
Oh, dear.
So I'll hear in, what, 2 or 3 days?
We'll be in touch. Oh,
thank you. Nice to meet you. You're very nice to play with. Thank you very much. Thank you.
As her lip steps out of the office, Jeff runs over with the woman's stapler.
I've just had an audition for a film. They want me for Terry. He's been in an accident.
Oh, never mind now. Let's get this going.
Can I see some ID, please?
Well, I've got these gloves.
Sorry, guys. We better go down.
Hillary kneels down to tie his shoelace as the League wanders past.
Nothing wrong with having action, Mark. We're not doing a bloody heist movie. How many times have I seen?
Hillary heads for their office.
Slow down, I've got stitch.
Hillary's sitting down at the League's computer.
It's all in here. I've written a film. A film, brilliant, am I in it?
I'll have to see.
I have to spin up for a film. I hope it doesn't clash.
I need to copy this file. Have you got the disc?
Yeah. So dark. You are joking. Well, you can tape over them, can't you?
Oh, God. I think I'll be spare disc to wrap. There must be one here somewhere.
I usually back up on a 5-inch floppy.
Yeah, I bet you do. Oh, quick, unplug it. I'll have to take the old thing.
the bonnet. We don't need it.
Oh, you're going to read it in Braille. Shh.
Steve Pemberton's making his way back to the office.
Quick, get your mask on.
They pull on animal masks.
Why am I a pig? Shh.
Hillary and her lip dive under the desk, leaving Jeff desperately looking for a hiding place. As Steve enters the office to pick up his mobile, Hillary's on all fours with her lip bending over him.
What's that sticking in me?
A hard drive.
Hesitating as he notices the computer missing, Steve looks up to see Jeff wedged between the walls either side of the door.
Have you seen me?
Yeah.
Jeff lets himself drop, flattening Steve, but is unable to hold onto him as he gets up and takes off across the office.
Get him!
Climbing onto desks and hurtling over partitions, Steve just about manages to avoid Hillary's clutches. After Hillary loses his footing and falls onto the floor, Steve manages to make it to the end of the office, only to run straight into a masked her lip. As they stand facing each other, equally out of breath, her lip slowly lifts off his mask, revealing himself to a mesmerized Steve.
Steve Pemberton.
Jeff knocks Steve out with a framed Mr. Bean poster.
What did you do that for? You can have it reframed. Is he still alive?
Yeah. What would happen to me if he passed under?
Who knows? Maybe you go down with him.
I can think of worse ways to go.
Go and get the computer. You'll make it quick. They'll be back any minute. Yeah, all right. I'm not an octopus.
What are we going to do with him? We can't take him along. They'll be expectorating.
You can't go, though, can we? Got that charity gig.
No, I'm not doing that.
What do we mean, pay the money?
They don't want to listen to what you have to say anyway.
Well, at least they'll be laughing all the way through it.
Steve?
A chair spins around, revealing her lip in Steve's clothes.
Where's the computer?
Her lips petrified.
Someone's fucking licked it.
In a backstreet dive called the Overlooked Hotel, Hillary and Jeff have tied up the unconscious Steve and put him in the bath.
I say we just cut his leg a bit.
What do you mean?
Just cut him with a knife just a little bit.
What's that meant to prove?
Just to see what he's like underneath.
It's not the Roswell incident. He's a human being.
What do you think? They eat food and that?
Of course they do.
Steve's coming too. Jeff approaches him.
Hiya. Mr. Pemberton, how are you feeling? Do you want another pillow?
Not now, Reese. Me, it's pounding.
Funny, actually. I'm not Reese. I'm Jeff. Oh.
He shows Steve his belly.
That's not padding, is it? It's real.
Poking him in the stomach, Steve recoils in shock. He looks at Hillary.
Mark.
Hillary shakes his head. Adopting a friendly smile, Jeff kneels down beside the bath.
We are your characters, and we've come into your world.
You're right, seem quiet.
Oh, you know how it is, Mr. Shearsmith, mate.
Your eyes look fucked.
Well, I've been licking my candle at both ends, you know.
Well, I won't finish this script, you can go on holiday, can't you?
Yeah, that reminds me, actually. I was going to say about that. What did we decide about Rest and Versa?
Reese stops and glares at him.
Yeah, very funny, Steve. See you later. Good luck anyway. Don't get your head bitten off.
He leaves her lip standing outside an unfamiliar townhouse. letting himself in through the front door. Her lip steps tentatively into a hall with toys and children's shoes strewn all over the floor.
Hello? I'm home.
I can't believe this. You are such a fucking arsehole prick, aren't you? One night since you was born, I ask you to be home early and you can't even manage that, you fucking lazy pig. Right, she needs a nappy changing and this lot needs feeding and putting today and I'll be home at midnight.
Get home, guys! Get on!
Her lips overwhelmed.
Come on!
Exterior Memorial Garden, London. The year is 1690.
Oh, don't read it out loud. It's not even finished.
We are at a funeral. A group of regal-looking mourners are extravagantly swathed in black crepe. Oof, depressing.
Hang on a minute. London 1690. This isn't Royston Vasey. Where's the one with us in it?
There isn't one.
Glancing at Jeff, Hillary walks into the bathroom and stands over Steve.
What? There isn't one. We're not doing Royston Vasey anymore. Sorry.
I see. So you've killed us off, have you?
No, we haven't killed you off. We just fancied a change, that's all. God, don't take it so personally.
It is personal.
It's actually really good, Hillary.
Shut up.
What's on a monkey-less?
Look, we've been doing these characters for 10 years.
Oh, these characters.
All right, you then. And we felt it was time to move on. Anyway, I don't have to justify myself to you.
Steve, what are you calling it?
What?
This olden days film, what are you calling it?
The King's Evil.
Oh, was it like Evil Dead?
I've no idea, I've never seen it.
What, you've not seen Evil Dead? That bit where all them twins go up a fanny, it's brilliant.
The King's Evil. Is this the only copy?
No.
I know you too well. Goes both ways, you know.
Delete it!
What?
I said delete it, delete the whole thing. And then Mr. Pemberton here can sit down and write us a Royston Vasey film.
No, Hillary, I'm just getting into it.
What a bloody rubbish. What's this? A wig maker, Mr. Ponsonby Snottington Smythe. You should be ashamed of yourself.
We're gonna change that.
What a surprise.
I think Snottington's funny. Mind you, I have got a daft humour. Mr. Bean, the carry-ons. Hey, here's one for you, Steve. A carry-on, but with spacemen. Oh!
What?
He's gone!
Shit! Stay, you and delete that file.
Yeah, but...
I said delete it!
Running along the hotel corridor, Steve hesitates by an open door. Looking into a room, he sees a figure in a bear suit leaning over the lap of a man in a tuxedo.
Well, come in if you come in.
Right.
Scrolling through the film script, Jeff hovers his finger above the delete button, but can't bring himself to press it. Turning back to the screen, he begins to read.
The year is 1690. We are at a funeral. A group of regal-looking mourners are extravagantly swathed in black crepe. The chief mourners are King William III and Queen Mary. The king is inconsolable, dabbing at his eyes with a lace handkerchief.
Oh, lackaday. I am melted into sweat with grieving for my darling Hannah.
A black cloth is lifted to reveal the head of a dead pig. Dressed in clothes, it lies on a horse-drawn hearse. As the king throws petals over the body, three men spy the royal couple from the top of a stone tower.
Come away, love. You will come away. What you have is discovered.
A darkened room.
The king buries his favorite pet as though it were possessed of an immortal soul.
Pig interment is but the latest blasphemy foisted on us by this Protestant monarch and his whorish wife.
If a Catholic monarchy is to be restored, we must act now.
What if we were to take a blenched monkey in a wig, smuggle it into the court, and then... No. But the wig is good.
I know. I could fashion me a tonsure in which is secreted a midget. When it is placed upon the royal brow, the midget will strike, putting out the king's eyes with his little thumbs.
Your suggestions, sir, are patently absurd.
Indeed, sir. What stratagem have you to offer?
I have hesitated to mention this before, but well you know I have certain acquaintances of a diabolic nature.
Taking a gondola along an underground canal, the three conspirators end up at a large manor house. Sheet Lightning reaches for a brass door knocker in the shape of a face, only for it to come alive in his hand. The man, posing as a knocker, opens the door.
We have come to see...
Two of infected people.
What?
Two of infected people. The bueno.
Walking along a corridor lined with hands holding candlesticks, Sheet Lightning removes his coat and hooks it on a foot poking out of a wall. Descending a flight of stone steps and entering a darkened chamber, they find themselves gazing up at a sinister-looking cloaked figure standing at least 10 feet tall.
Good evening, gentlemen.
The figure opens his cloak, revealing a stepladder, which he descends to greet them. The three conspirators relax.
Let me explain our presence, Doctor.
Oh, I know why you're here, Sir Nicholas Sheet Lightning. I know what black and bloody business brings you to the house of Dr. P.
If you are cognizant of our plot, Dr. P, then pray tell, can you help us?
Help you? Assassinate the Protestant king.
Behind a wall, a candle holder yawns.
Tell you tonight.
Yeah?
Shattered. I see that you had little success with your previous endeavors.
How could he know of that?
You are the very devil, sir.
Not quite. This is the devil.
He lifts a cloche, revealing a miniature dancing devil.
But his methods are mine. Sir! You would kill King.
He removes a scroll from a backside poking through the wall.
Happily, I have a scheme. What know you of the King's evil?
Plenty of it. It's horrible,
No, you don't. The King's Evil is the name given to a senseless ceremony whereby the monarch's touch is said to cure all manner of pox and canker.
Senseless may be, but surely perfect means of getting close to his Protestant majesty.
Yes. One of us, disguised, perhaps, with a wig, could smuggle a baby beneath his breeches. Said baby could...
Shut up! Could we be a little subtler in our technique? Think of this, if you can. A creature grown from seed, as in nature, an humunculus.
A demon?
No, an humunculus. Through my spells, I can fashion such a creature and cause his skin to weep a lethal venom.
Poisoned man?
Exactly. One touch of this Caliban's wretched hide will be enough to kill King William.
A fair scheme.
And there will be nothing to connect us to such a plan.
It is magnificent.
But great gentlemen, you forget. To make compact with the Dark One, there is always price.
I don't know what he's talking about.
You each have to give me a bit of your body. You. Clippings from your toenails. You. Cup of your drool. And you, both of your eyes,
What?
Both of your eyes. The creature has to see, sweetie.
Yes, but they didn't get any...
Don't suck! Moving on.
Aye.
No!
Sheath Lightning clips one of his thick black nails. At the same time, Snottington Smythe spits a stream of thick drool into a bowl. Meanwhile, Father Halfheart's been tied to a chair and gagged. The others can barely bring themselves to look as Dr. P looms over him. Placing his hands either side of his head, the doctor presses his thumbs into Halfheart's temples, calming him. Then, removing Halfheart's glasses, the doctor waves his hands in front of his face like a magician about to perform an illusion. Halfheart stares at him, mesmerized. A quick wave of the hands, and Halfheart's eyes are no longer in his head. Jeff chuckles to himself. Dropping Halfheart's eyes into a wok, Dr. P's wearing an apron as he moves them around with a wooden spoon. Consulting a recipe book, he adds a glob of Snottington Smythe's drool, licking his finger as a bit dribbles over the rim of the bowl. Mixing it all together, he puts down his spoon and takes the pan off the heat. Carrying it to the middle of the room, he pours the concoction onto a pagan symbol drawn in chalk on the floor. As Halfheart bumbles around in the dark, Dr. P raises his hands in the air.
It begins. In a minute.
Suddenly, the brew on the floor emits a green mist. Snottington Smythe and Sheet Lightning look on in disbelief as a small gargoyle sprouts from the mixture and spreads its wings. The homunculus stretches its limbs.
What is it? What have you done?
Come! Come!
Looking around menacingly, the homunculus goes to walk across the room. But falls over a chair, then flies up and bangs its head on a lamp.
Oh, his eyes. You forgot his glasses.
An angry Dr. P picks up Halfheart's glasses.
Help! Someone help me!
Reaching the exit, Steve pulls a door open, only to find Hillary staring back at him through a cage.
Now, where were we?
Sitting on temporary thrones in the grounds of their castle, the King and Queen are granting an audience to some of their subjects.
Have you staggered far?
God bless you.
Great God, this is wrong. To think that we have supped with the very devil.
You.
Our quest to do the Lord's work.
Oh, you say that now. Thank you very much.
All will be well if we keep our nerve, but mark you, touch not this monster's flesh.
God bless you.
The homunculus steps forward, concealed by a cloak.
You get in line here.
The Queen greets a peasant.
It's an interesting canker.
The homunculus makes its way towards the throne. Watching from the wings, Snottington Smythe and Sheet Lightning can barely contain their excitement. Raising its head, the bespectacled homunculus offers its hand to the king. The king reaches out to touch its claw.
You're touching it! It's poisoned!
Jet's intervention panics the homunculus.
We're undone!
Flying into the air, it rolls itself into a ball and spontaneously combusts, vanishing into nothing.
Just saved your life.
Right, panic over. I caught him. Jeff? Jeff?
Steve catches sight of the computer screen. Pushing him aside, Hillary leans over to read it.
Jeff tips, a clever man with a big cock, comes in and stops the king from being killed. He is a hero. His cock is big. Oh, Jeff, you bloody idiot!
Steve's partner, Lindsay, arrives home to find the hall spotless and all of the children's shoes lined up against the wall. Walking upstairs, she discovers Herr Lipp singing at her daughter's bedside.
Steve?
Shh. She's just dropped off.
Tucking in the little girl, he walks to the other side of the room, where he's folded the kids' clothes into neat piles.
Did you have a nice time?
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing. You've been busy.
Well, I can't live in a pig pen. I have allergies. I ran my finger around all your rims and look.
So, our Sally told me about what's been happening at her school, and I have to say, I think it's appalling.
Did she talk to you about it?
Oh, for sure. In fact, I think I might go and speak to her teachers. They obviously have no idea how to handle titties. Bullies. Right, well, I think I'll leave you to get yourself off, and I'll just go and empty the bins.
Steve?
Having changed in front of Herr Lipp, Lindsay leans across the bed.
Will you rub my feet?
As she lies back and raises her leg, Herr Lipp apprehensively takes hold of her foot.
Properly.
Sitting down, he sees up her t-shirt and blushes.
You're not funny, you know.
I'm not trying to be funny. I haven't been feeling myself recently.
He stops her from taking off his cap.
Come here.
She lies him down and kisses him gently on the lips.
Thank you. I know it's hard.
It isn't.
I mean, you know, I've been really stressed out with the kids and you've been working really hard and you've been bringing those characters home with you.
That's true, yeah.
The things are just feeling really good between us.
Good?
She works his way down his body.
That reminds me, actually, I must go and empty the Hoover bag. The sack is full.
Jeff sitting between the king and queen at a celebration in his honour.
Right, here's our plan. There's an Englishman, Irishman, Scotchman.
Oh, that's the best one yet. Imagine an Irishman in that company.
Very good.
There's loads more to it. He keeps spoiling it.
Oh, ignore him. Go on. Get your gob round another goblet. We're celebrating. You're the hero of the hour.
No, I am, Anna.
You are.
The Queen puts her hand on Jeff's leg.
Excuse me, thy ladyship, but wouldst thee like to see my cock? It's gone bloody massive.
I never had me put it.
My lords, let us raise our glasses and toast our new friend and champion, Master Geoffrey Tipps, who, with great bravery, has saved us from a deadly assassin of unknown provenance. Master Tipps.
Master Tipps!
Cheers!
The king rises.
Come forward, Master Geoffrey.
A sword.
Kneel before your king.
All right. Oh, God, you're my knees clapped then.
The king taps him on both shoulders with the sword.
Arise, Sir Geoffrey. Come, join us briefly in our royal chambers.
Yeah, good. I could do with a crap. See you.
The queen looks disappointed.
There goes me cock.
Having met for a secret rendezvous in one of the pods on the London Eye, her lip slips an envelope into Hillary's hand.
What's this? Receipts for my expenses.
You don't have expenses.
Excuse me, you try feeding a family of six. It isn't easy.
I'm trying to get Pemberton to write a Royston Vasey film. He keeps all his old ideas filed away in the spare room. Find them and bring them to me.
And when am I supposed to do this? I've got to pick Joel up from tennis, take Sally to cello lesson, and there's the baby's postnatal appointment. I'm sorry, I'm just completely creamed over.
You would do well to remember, hair, lip, that you're nothing more than a pun. A one-joke character, just like the rest of us. And if Royston Vasey dies, you die with it. So you do as you're told. Otherwise, I might have to employ more extreme measures. Alice Clarke.
Alice Clarke.
Hillary lets go of him.
I just have to wait a few minutes
For the... Lovely day for it.
A group of tourists are huddled at the other end of the pod. Jeff's on the toilet.
So, tell me, Sir Geoffrey, what know you of this conspiracy against our Protestant person? What think you of this popery?
Popery? Can't see any, King. You could do with someone here, man, it stinks. What are you doing? And King, there's an old fella in the toilet.
Tis only I, sir. Tom Tit.
Who?
Tom Tit, the Knight Soil Man, guardian of the royal stew. It's my function to take away your leavings.
I can't go, you were looking at me, Bob.
If I might make so bold, sir, there are methods of easing the passage. come out, reluctant stool. Be not your maker for a fool. Run, naughty cats, let go your prize. Let's cut this bum egg down to sand.
Hello?
Hello.
Stepping into Steve's cluttered spare room, Herr Lip tries the light switch, then switches on a torch when it doesn't work. Discovering a box file, he puts down the torch and begins rooting through its contents. He pulls out a file.
No character ideas. A clown with leprosy. A white supremacist scoutmaster. But that's very weak.
Turning to another box, he discovers a Royston Vasey snow globe, which he shakes with a wistful smile. Next, he pulls out a scrapbook filled with newspaper articles regarding the League of Gentlemen. Accompanying phrases such as grotesque characters and monstrously ugly creations, a quote reads, "It would be great to kill them all off," laughs Gatiss. Replacing the scrapbook, Herr Lip pulls out a picture frame containing an article about himself entitled, "Herr Lip, the worst pun in the world." Seething with rage, Herr Lip tightens his grip on the frame, cracking the glass with his thumbs.
What in there?
Dr. Pease abducted Jeff.
Have you done it? Did you get him? Can I have his eyes?
Later. Now then, let us examine our prize.
They remove Jeff's hood.
What queer finery he wears.
I'm not queered up on me!
Sheet Lightning finds a label.
Giorgio Vasda.
What question?
Calm yourself, sir. Enough of this fupsy. I have devices that will loosen his tongue. Why, I shall play him as a night soil man plays his poop spinet.
What do you mean, devices?
Instruments of excruciating torment.
We shall introduce you to the ladies' cuddle.
Sounds nice.
Jeff's been folded in half and stuffed in a cage.
Oh, please, God, I'll tell you anything!
I haven't started yet.
All right.
Ow, I've stuck. Oh, please let me take my coat off, I'm boiling!
Where do you come from? What know you of the homunculus?
What is an homunculus?
We waste time. Crush the marrow from his bones.
Okay, which one of you's Ponson Miss Snottington Smythe?
He knows my real name.
Yeah, I know all about you. I've read the whole plot.
We are betrayed. How know you of the plot?
There's these three fellas.
You jest with me now, sir?
No, they really are. They invented me, but they're doing you now. You're not real, you think you are, but you're not. They control everything.
But who betrayed our stratagem?
I'm no longer concerned with such petty affairs.
They lean towards Jeff.
Tell me more of these inventors.
I don't understand it myself. I can't tell you anything.
On the contrary, Giorgio Vasda, you will tell me everything.
Dressed in a tux, Reese is adjusting his bow tie in a mirror when his mobile begins to ring. Hillary's forcing Steve to make a call from a public phone box.
Hello?
Hi, Reese, Steve.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in Hadfield. Listen.
Hadfield? What are you doing there? I've got this benefit gig tonight.
Just listen, okay? Jesus. The characters from Royston Vasey are alive. They've come alive and they want us to write a film for them because they stole the computer, yeah?
It was them who stole the computer. I'm standing here with Hillary Briss.
Oh, you bastard. All that rather than spend 2 minutes of your time helping out a load of mongoloids.
It's true!
Mark's at the door.
He doesn't believe me.
Come in here. This is Hillary Briss.
Oh, hello, Mr. Briss. This is Mr. Shearsmiths.
No, not you as well, Mark. I'm not doing this stupid gig on my own.
If you want to see your colleague alive, you will listen carefully to what I have to say. I have some information you may find very interesting.
I'm listening.
Does your man have some moustaches?
No.
Okay, so it's not Roger, Charles, or Lucas. Now, no cheating.
Walking out into the hall, Herr Lipp opens the front door to find Mark and Reese standing there in their tuxes. He shifts uncomfortably as they eye him with suspicion.
Hiya, lads. You look very smart. What's the occasion?
It's that benefit gig tonight. We talked about it last week.
Hurry, yeah. Have to get me on, Ed, if it won't fucked on.
You remember what it's for, don't you? Steve.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's the, AIDS. Homeless Gypsies Trust, isn't it? I'll just go and get my uniform.
Aber schnell, wir müssen nicht spät sein.
Ja, genau so. Es ist halb zwei.
He freezes, realizing what he said.
Scheiße.
As he turns to face them, Reese moves towards him.
Get it.
Mark bundles her lip into a people carrier and they all take off, heading north along the M1. It's dark by the time they arrive at the Hadfield Church.
There.
Mark spots Hillary lurking in the shadows of the doorway.
Come.
They usher her lip inside.
Don't take me down there!
That must be it.
They head for the trap door. Reese spots the wooden door.
That's it.
They step into the white room to find Steve tied to a chair with Hillary standing over him, holding a knife to his throat.
Evening, gents.
As he steps forward to close the door, the single bulb lighting the room flickers above their heads. Smiling knowingly, Hillary returns to Steve's side.
Shall we conclude our business?
Let Steve go first.
Hillary removes Steve's gag.
How could you not tell the difference?
I thought you were staying in character, like a Mike Lee thing.
Yeah, what about those eyes?
I just thought you were tired. All your babies and that.
Oh, great. You should spend more time with your family.
Fuck off.
Hillary hands her lip a bundle of clothes.
You might want to change.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, thank you for your cooperation. That's it.
That's it? You're free to go.
Nice meeting you. I hope...
Oh, can we just go now, please?
Yes.
Steve, Mark, and Reese leave the room.
Thank you for helping me, but it really wasn't necessary.
I didn't do it for you.
Dashing outside, they're amazed to find themselves overlooking Royston Vasey under attack from a barrage of flaming rocks.
Shit, Hector.
Welcome to Royston Vasey.
This isn't possible.
Oh, I'm afraid it is. And it's all your fault. It's about time you took some responsibility for your actions. This is all that's left of a once proud creation. Cast aside like a bit of scrag end.
But we didn't write this.
Precisely. You've been far too busy doing Ponsonby Snottington Smythe. And in the process, condemning us to this. Come on out. It won't bite you.
Royston Vasey inhabitants converge around their creators.
The League of Gentlemen. Extraordinary.
Aye.
Pauline curtsies.
We've our heads together, and we've come up with a list of film ideas for us. You know, just to get you going.
She hands Mark a piece of paper.
All the Vasey characters go on holiday together to Spain.
That were mine, actually. Imagine this lot checking in on an aeroplane. And then when they get there, the hotel's not finished, no one speaks the lingo.
One of the characters is mistaken for a gangster by the mafia and gets chased around with a bag of money.
Reese has to stop himself laughing.
A clown with leprosy befriends a white supremacist scoutmaster. Who wrote this?
Ignore them, they're not even proper characters.
We're not doing any more Royston Vasey, we've all agreed.
Actually, Steve...
No, hang on a minute. There might be a way of doing it.
What about... This is a really good idea, actually. What if...
Steve's head explodes.
Fucking hell!
Give it to me, you sightless shit! We need them alive!
Jeff!
I'm sorry, Hillary! They made me tell him everything! They put me in a box with my coat on! I know, it doesn't sound much when you say it out loud.
Who are they?
These must be our replacements. What do you want?
I have no quarrel with you, my brothers in fiction. Hand over the creators and there need be no more bloodshed.
Give up the writers. Over my dead body.
So be it.
As Dr. P draws his sword, the ground begins to shake violently, knocking everyone off balance. Reaching around the doctor, Jeff removes a pistol from his waistband. Mark and Reese make their escape.
After them!
going?
Hillary! You've got to stop him! He's like the main body in this!
Riding on the back of Dr. P's horse, Jeff throws Hillary the pistol. As Hillary ducks back into the church, Reese notices scaffolding leading up to the roof.
Maybe we can get in there!
Okay.
They start to climb. Meanwhile, Royston Vasey continues to be bombarded. Spotting Mark and Reese, Dr. P gets off his horse.
Get him after them! I must have those vitals!
Nay, P. We will not be twiddle-twiddled about like pawns on a checkerboard!
You are right. I declare this game ended!
What was that?
The doctor skewers all three of them with a single thrust of his sword.
Ooh, you bad sod!
Is Steve really dead?
He can't be. We can't be harmed by our own creations.
Incorrect. Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah?
Mind you, this is a bit more like the Poseidon Adventure, isn't it?
Yeah. As long as I'm not that fuck one that drowns. What's she called?
Shelley Winters?
That's the other one gone, then?
One writer yet remains. We must secure him or we all perish.
Here, hold this.
Ooh, it smells like eggs.
Well, they're in it, yes.
He beheads Nottington Smythe.
Oh, come off it!
You, Germany! Make yourself useful! Got anyone back in this crypt? Nobody!
Alice, Clare, what are you going to do?
Hillary grabs a poleaxe.
I've got to rewrite history.
Leaving her lip with the pistol, Hillary goes back outside.
P!
He walks up to the doctor.
It's finished.
Finny?
I have the two remaining writers.
Jeff points at Reese.
One remaining writer. And he's agreed to carry on doing Royston Vasey.
Has he?
Yes. He likes your character, P. And he's prepared to write your regular cameos as a buddy chemist. If you'll go back to them days, now.
A buddy chemist? I know you, Meat Fletcher. We are kindred spirits. This place, it's had its day. Come with me. You know where you belong.
Hillary considers.
You're right, P. I do know.
He grips his poleaxe.
I belong here.
And then you shall die here!
Suddenly, a giant three-headed homunculus emerges from behind the church.
What the hell is that?
That, Hillary, is an homunculus.
Jeff and Dr. P duck for cover, leaving Hillary to face the homunculus alone. As he gazes up, the heads of Snottington Smythe, Sheet Lightning, and Father Halfheart loom over him. Stepping forward, Hillary begins jabbing his poleaxe at the creature. The homunculus swipes at him with its claws.
I thought the pigeons were bad.
Mark's running through the church as it crumbles around him.
Getting stabbed!
It's not so easy. The creature seems to be secreting some sort of poison.
Reaching the trap door, Mark freezes and puts his hands up as her lip emerges, pointing the pistol at him.
I cannot allow you to enter my passage.
Bobbing and weaving beneath the flailing homunculus, Hillary takes a swipe at it and severs one of its hands.
Yes!
If you let me go, I'll write your own series, a spin-off.
Less of your lip, it could be called. Just you doing innuendos week after week after week. Such an easy character to write for.
Am I?
Aiming his poleaxe, Hillary hurls it at the homunculus, penetrating its chest. The creature explodes in a ball of flames.
You've done it, Hillary!
Dr. P stabs Hillary in the back.
Sorry, I had to cheat.
Hillary!
Jeff kneels down beside him.
It's too late, Jeff. I've had it.
Oh, don't say that. You'll be all right. Come on.
It's up to you now. Future Royston Vasey's in your hands.
Oh, shit. What can I do?
I think you'd be surprised what you can do. You're strong. You've got a good heart.
I'm not going to kiss your out. Hillary!
I'm dead meat.
Hillary expires.
Well, well, well. You seem to have something of task ahead. But do you have the courage to take the helm? I thought not. More fool the butcher for bequeathing responsibility to a baboon like you. Stand up, Og. Let us put an end to thy shame.
One last thing before you kill me.
What is it, George of Asta?
A taste of your own medicine.
The homunculus's hand.
You, my friend, are F-U-K-T fucked.
You bitch.
The doctor implodes, condensing into a green pea, which drops to the ground.
Right, come on, everybody! Follow me!
He steps on the pea.
Has he started writing? Hillary said he changed his mind!
I have, and so have I. Everyone stay exactly where they are, please.
What are you doing?
You'll have to forgive me. I've just come over a little queer. I don't know whether to take you in hand or shoot both barrels into your mouth. What would you suggest, sir?
They both sound disgusting.
You do realize Steve and Reese are dead?
Matters not.
Of course it matters. If he dies, we all die.
Precisely.
Somebody do something!
Don't be foolish, man. You'll kill us all.
I will free us all.
Don't you see? We're already free. We killed the monster. We've beaten the prophecy.
But we do not have free will. You will never believe in God or the Bible. You will never save the life of an animal. I will never have children. What is our quality of life if we cannot change who we are?
Wait! What about me? I've changed. I'm always the big, fat, stupid idiot that messes everything up. Don't say how I know I am.
He looks around.
But today, I'm the hero. I saved Vasey, just like Hillary said I would.
He's dead, by the way.
No. Don't kill my Marketis. Because if you do that, you're not giving him the chance to change. That's all I ask. Just give him a chance. Just give us all a chance.
He takes the pistol.
Yeah, I couldn't have done any damage anyway. Safety's on lock.
Looking down at his chest to find a round blood stain on his white shirt, Mark collapses to the floor. As everyone gathers around him, he lifts up his head, then loses consciousness. Dr. Chinnery feels for a pulse.
He's dead.
Thoughts about that. Don't know what happened.
That's okay. I preferred you the way you were anyway. So, how come we're still here? That's right.
If he's dead, then surely...
It's a miracle.
A candle ignites itself. Then everyone turns to the back of the church to find themselves bathed in sunlight, flooding in through the open door. As Pauline and the vicar embrace, Jeff makes his way towards the light. Her lip sits down with a photograph of Steve and his son, while Dr. Chinnery discovers a stray rabbit.
Hello. Hello there.
A small boy and a girl run up to her lip.
Sir, sir, we can't find our mommy or daddy. Will you look after us?
Of course. I would be honored.
As he kneels down to embrace them both, Pauline and the vicar come within millimeters of kissing on the lips before deciding to press their cheeks together instead. Jeff steps out into a glorious sunny day.
Well, Hillary, it looks like we do have free will after all.
Edward, Tubbs, and Papa Lazarou wave at him from a door of the church. Jeremy's lying in a hospital bed with a broad grin etched on his face. Two nurses are standing over him.
I wonder what he's thinking. Well, he had a terrible fall. There must be something keeping him going.
Come on, then. Let's even to us.
The nurses turn to walk away, revealing large, furry tails emerging from the back of their uniforms. A porter with a tail like a squirrel's pushes a man in a wheelchair along a corridor filled with men and women, all displaying the strange irregularity.